We started out this morning by reading a portion from Daniel's prophecy. At the time that portion that we read was taking place historically, Daniel was a very old man. He had been in Babylon for just about 70 years now. And he was a very old man. But he believed in the promises of God, believed that all that God revealed to him, especially in verses 24 through 27, which we did not read, would one day come to pass. And then we find in chapter 10 this very interesting occurrence. Let me just read a couple of verses. Daniel is writing, he says, "And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me," this hand that was reaching out to Daniel, "he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you.'" Daniel was old, and it was difficult for him to even stand. But this person that's speaking to him says, "Stand up. I've got something I want to say to you." "And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before the Lord your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words.'" This was probably the angel Gabriel that Daniel was speaking to, and who was speaking to Daniel. And he comes to Daniel in his latter days when he is old and pretty much infirmed, in order to say to Daniel, "Your prayers that you've been praying all these years that you've been in captivity, your prayers that you've been praying for God to fulfill the promises that he's made to your people, those prayers have been heard. And I have come to you this day because I heard those prayers." We don't have time to get into it this morning, but it's very interesting how it goes on, where it says in verse 13, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So there was this conflict going on where Gabriel was delayed for a while. But the prayer was powerful, and God heard it, and God sent Gabriel to do the work that he wanted him to do. And Gabriel comes with this word of encouragement to Daniel that your prayers have been heard. I have come because of your word. Remember now that Daniel is thinking of the fulfillment of this great prophecy that's just been given to him in chapter 9. And Daniel's been told that it's not going to be fulfilled for a long time into the future. But Daniel is convinced that it's true and it's going to happen. And it involves the people of Israel. And so he prays and prays and prays. And if you have studied the book of Daniel at some other time, you know that there are some of the greatest prayers in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. Daniel was a man of prayer. So he's been praying. He is praying that God's purposes would come to pass. That God would bring all of these things together for Israel, just as he has predicted. And Gabriel comes to say to Daniel, I have come because of your words. Because of your words, God's purposes will come to pass. Paul tells us in the New Testament to pray without ceasing. So that means you have to sit with your hands folded and your eyes closed 24 hours a day? Of course not. But as believers, we can be in that attitude of prayer all the time. All the time. Reminding ourselves of what God is doing and what he wants to do with us in our lives. And being in that constant attitude of communication with him. As Keith alluded to just a few moments ago in James 5:16, the effectual, that means it's got the power to affect an outcome. The effectual fervent, constantly given. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Much. Great things can be accomplished when God's people pray. We see it constantly throughout the Word of God. I asked you a few moments ago, can prayer affect the outcome of an election? Can prayer affect the decision of the release of a prisoner? Can prayer affect the winds and the waves and the hurricanes that may destroy people's lives? Can prayer affect those people who are suffering due to starvation? There's examples of every one of those things in the Word of God. We have the power to affect great things in our world if we would take prayer seriously. That's your challenge for this week. Do that. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray according to God's will. Pray expecting that God's going to bring to pass his purposes because we have prayed for those things. Let's stand together and be dismissed with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the ministry of your word to our hearts once again this morning. As we thought for a few moments about this extremely important subject of prayer in our lives as believers, we are reminded again in so many ways of the extreme power that is available to us if we would but pray in the way that you have told us to. Help us, like Daniel, Father, to understand that our prayers can affect the outcome of your purposes years and years in the future. Our prayers can affect the outcome of circumstances here upon the earth that are taking place thousands of miles away. And our prayers certainly can affect the ministry in which you have given to us right here in our church as we pray for our witness to the community, as we pray for one another who are struggling with different issues, as we pray for the Word of God to become powerful in our lives, and as we pray to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Help us, Father, to pray without ceasing, and make that the habit of our lives. We thank you for our time of worship together this morning, Father. Dismiss us with your blessing. Use us for your glory in all that we do this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When he begins to pour out his wrath and his judgment upon the earth, and this is just the beginning. Someday God is going to destroy the earth because it has usurped the authority, the deity, and the glory that belongs to Him and to Him alone. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, listen to these words. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it. God did that. Who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And listen to verse 8. God says, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. Nor my praise to carved idols. The earth is not necessarily a carved idol, but it is an idol nonetheless in the hearts and the minds of many, many people today. During the tribulation, God is going to pour out His wrath upon all wickedness, all rebellion, evil of every kind. God must be given all the glory, all the praise, all the authority, all the majesty. And by the time we get to the end of the tribulation, every usurper of God's honor, every idol of mankind, every false deity, including even the earth itself, must be judged and ultimately destroyed because of its role in taking glory from God. God will receive the glory that He deserves someday. Paul tells us at the end of Philippians chapter 2, and every tongue, believers, unbelievers, pagan, whoever, every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we read these words in Revelation 8, and it seems like such an awful devastation will take place upon this earth someday. And maybe we wonder why that should happen to this planet that You have created. Well, it's like just about everything else that You have created and given to us as men. We have taken Your good gifts and we have turned them into something that's evil. We have turned them into idols of our own creation. And we have begun to worship those things that You have created rather than worshiping the Creator Himself. And for that, even the earth must ultimately pay a price. And someday You will destroy this earth completely, replace it with a world of perfection. I pray, Heavenly Father, that none of us here think that God is fooling around when He talks about judgment to come, about pouring out His wrath upon all people, all the earth itself. God is deadly serious, and His judgments will take place just as He has promised them. pray again, Heavenly Father, that there are some here who don't know that they will be spared from that wrath to come, that they would pour their hearts out to you and come to Jesus Christ in confession and acknowledging him as their Lord and Savior and receive the forgiveness that he can provide for them. Father, may we as believers also just take a moment to think about the idols in our own hearts. Are we being led astray? Are we worshiping things other than the God of the Bible? Are there idols that we have established in our own minds, our own hearts, our own lives that take us away from the worship of you? Convict us, Father, because all of those things will be destroyed ultimately someday as well. Speak to us, Heavenly Father, about these important issues, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.